I am unashamed. What about you?
We got Jace back in the house.
I'm back. I know y'all missed me.
We did miss you, Jace. But we had we had a lot of really interesting guests that rotated through your chair. So
Jace, your face came across my radar when I pulled up to that hook net above that old concrete bridge over there.
Yeah.
I just caught two fine Opelousas cat the first time I ran it. They had a big op feed. I mean,
Tell me the truth. Y'all have eaten all that.
It's all gone. So I said, caught two good ops, had a big fish fry, you know. I put the net back
Tony
out.
And Phyllis get in on the
Over there, right? And she's taking pictures of the fish. She said, oh, this is so easy. You make it look so easy. I said, yeah. Well, the next time I went, 3 days later, I pull back up to the same net, same spot, fresh off of having a big Opelousas cat feed off my last catch. I said, let's see what we got here. Dan was with me. The eunuch was with me. So I got the rope and I started coming up. I said, Dan, I don't know what's in this net, but this thing is heavy. I said, so there's something in it with some weight. When I kept coming up with that thing, and I barely got it up to the top of the water because I just can't lift it. I said, Dan,
you might want to turn that over to Dan.
I said, Dan, get over here, get your muscles, kick them in. I said, that's going to take two of us. But when we finally saw what we had caught, I would say close to 500 pounds of needle-nose gar.
Ooh, really?
First time in my commercial fishing career, out of all them years we fished, I've never picked up a hook net where they had just stuck their snouts from the outside in, from the inside out.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them four foot long, 3 to 4 or 5 foot long gar. 500 pounds, easy. Took all we could do just to get them where I could get them.
And they're probably all dead.
All dead. Oh. Every one of them were dead.
Obviously, there were too many gar.
So you say, I took out my knife and I said, I will patch this net later. But fortunately, I had a pair of gloves because the teeth on these gar would have just chewed my fingers off my bone, off the bones. So I just finally got them up there. But it took 1 hour to get all of them gar out of that net and toss them in the bayou up there.
Fertilizer.
I said, man. I said, Dan, I've been in on a lot of capers. I said, but I've never had one net give me this much trouble the entire time I fished them.
But you just described the life of a commercial fisherman.
That's exactly
you have
right.
highs, but the lows.
Lows are
low.
When I finally got that last one, I said, Dan, I'm going back to the bank. I pulled a muscle over here under my rib cage. I said, I'm going back up on that bank. I said, tie that net out where it'll dry out. I'll patch the holes later. I would cut one string to where that way I could just drag them out of the hole. I made a hole, and I just got to doing that. I said, I'm trying to get that strings off of there. Their head, Jace, but they had just rammed them in there.
Oh, those teeth.
And it gone past the gills.
Your net might have been a little shallow, sounds like to me.
12 feet deep.
Really?
12 feet deep. And I said, what would a bunch of gar be coming along in a herd? And bound to have been just a stampede of gar coming up this bayou. And
I just think now nobody commercial fishes gar. I mean, when's the last time you heard some people eating some gar?
Well, and the thing about it, back when we used to catch them, you actually could sell them. They bought a pretty good price.
I got 30 cents a pound for them.
But they die so quick.
Pretty good. 30 cents is not.
Well, I mean, for the day.
But normally, normally on a hook net, you run it every 3 days, give or take. Depending on what the fish are doing, but I just have one net out, and it's this spot I got it. It has caught a lot of catfish, including Opelousas. But for some reason or another, I noticed that it was a gar run too.
Well,
you've heard of the term gar hole.
Now you know why they couldn't say the gar hole.
Well,
which for the audience, gar hole is bad. If you say that's a gar hole, that means no good.
I think they figured
it was one of the few times in the last 6 months that I said, I said, Dan, it's not, but I think that was on a Thursday. I said, it's not but Thursday. I'll usually wait till Saturday before I take a bath. I said, but this has spurred me on, son. I said, I'm going to have to go find some soap and water. He said, Bill, I can smell you. He said, all that old fish slime coming up on. He said, I can smell you, and it smells
rough. I like it that the older dad's gotten, the more he's taken his dad's track of, I take a bath every Saturday, whether I need to or not.
But the Lord took away my sense of smell about a year.
But not ours.
That's... About a year or two ago, I just quit. I quit. I lost my sense of smell, so I couldn't smell them.
I mean, have a high.
They were all dead, slimy. But they weren't to the rotten stage, but they were dead.
Oh, man.
We're in the spring here. The water's still cool enough.
The stench. I mean, I remember when I was dating Missy. She would be like, what is that smell? And I'm like, I don't know. Because when you fish, you get used to
it. You quit smelling it.
And she's like, it just sounds like, I mean, it smells like something rotten. I was like, oh, that's fishing. I said, but I've showered. So the first layer, but you can't. I mean,
it would take like a lot of time for the lower.
Our audience, if they had observe me, and I would have after I got done with getting these gar out of that net, if I had walked by them and they had been downwind, that they would have shrieked and took off running. The whole bunch would have just broke and ran. They said, good
probably
night,
gagged.
Get me away from him.
I used your line to Missy when we were dating. I said, you gotta train yourself every time you sense that smell, to say to yourself, it smells like money.
That's right. Just like the paper mail, right?
Sounds she like... said, I could never do that. So,
well, speaking
that
of...
That was some of the words of wisdom I imparted when I was about 30. Jeez, well, I was a little older than that probably. I was probably in my 40s. You're a teenager.
I don't, Phil, I can't remember 2 weeks ago.
But think about it.
I do remember the past week.
Followed my lead, you and old Al there, and old Willie, and you got Jep. You followed the lead, and we worked hard. And you noticed nobody was ever singing the blues, once.
Nope.
I heard no one singing the blues. Boy, we are up against it. All we got, we smell like fish because we waller in this fish slime every week to make a living. But nobody ever complained.
I actually enjoyed it. I mean, there's a kind of a science to it, where you're basically turning the river upside down in your mind,
right?
And you know, finding the traveling lanes and where to put the nets, and it's constantly changing. And I mean, it was fun.
Well,
but you stunk. So I don't. No matter what you did or learned,
and that
at
kinda,
the end of the day, you stink.
Which kind of soured me on fishing now. I don't really enjoy it. But you know what's interesting is that so much has changed. I don't know about commercial fishing, but just regular fishing. Like now the equipment stuff. I mean, Jay's got things that
sonar,
he's
radar.
Looking at the fish.
I would call that yuppie fishing.
Well, maybe
you
so.
Know, it's not what Phil and I were doing.
No,
I mean, this is just grunt work. Because everybody else, what's sad in the commercial fishing world, you would see these old timers, and you're like, that's gonna be me one day. I mean, you look at them, and they're just—it's just not good. No. It's not a
even
not
the
a
game
good,
wardens. The game wardens who regulate wildlife and fish, even the game wardens, when I would be over there running a net or patching a net on the bank, I'd be standing there and I'd be, you know, I was catching fish. Even the game wardens, Al, when they rode by in their boats, they didn't check me. They didn't pull over and say, what are you doing?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah. They didn't say, what are you doing? Let's check your fishing license. They just looked over there and they looked at it and they saw the little crowd there, whatever we were doing, cleaning fish or whatever, and they would just ride on by.
They just saw the picture.
Were doing it for a living, and we weren't looking around waving. We didn't even act like they were there.
They looked at that site and said, you know, those poor fellas.
Look at those poor guys. That's exactly what they said. So companies, Jay, so the last podcast you were on, Missy was on here, and we've gotten quite the response to it because you were so squirmy during the. You should have seen it. I mean, it was something to behold.
There was a lesson in there. I don't know exactly what it was,
but when people Jace's loved it, and
woman
I loved it.
Comes on the scene, close proximity. The quieter, the closer she gets to him, the quieter he becomes.
You wasn't even here.
He's heard about
it. I just heard about it. Heard Al talking about it.
Oh, boy.
And it was funny. And then I watched it again, and where Lisa was watching it, so I watched it with her. And I didn't realize she and I laughed the entire 48 minutes.
Oh, you did?
The whole time. It was just because it was just back and forth.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
But I did. It was the most fun I've had in a while.
It wasn't that fun to me, but hey, if everybody enjoyed it, great. I mean, how we are at all times.
We were just being prude around your woman, you know, be kind to your woman, respect her, you know. And
well, it's kind of a rebuttal on her part, which was because I was, you know, it took me back to my childhood because I used to set Willie and Jace up to fight. You know, I would throw out some the right things.
The bait.
He was the Don King of childhood.
That's right.
On a more serious note, what about my granddaughter, who is your daughter? What's the prognosis here?
Well, it's been a rough week.
How long did the operation last?
Over 6 hours.
Woo!
And they said five.
It took like multiple doctors.
Right? Yeah, there were two doctors in, and then they had two fellows that were, because the nature of this, I mean, to describe really.
So the ones who are just tuned in that doesn't know anything about this, just give a little update on when this started from birth and she was born and the surgeries up to now. She's 16, 17?
17. Well, part of what we do, even with our foundation, you know, which we named it after Mia, the Mia Moo, is there's so much lack of understanding and misinformation of what happens down this road. You know, you have a cleft lip that everybody is pretty well familiar with. You know, people have made jokes.
There were a few actors that had it in Hollywood. Yeah. I could see that they had done some.
Which was much more minor. I don't want to, mid-sentence, I want to clarify, which is horrible when people, you know, make fun of people like this.
Right.
But when you get into the palate and the what they call craniofacial, you know, the bone setup, it becomes way more difficult. And so part of what we do is try to explain that. But look, it's very hard for me to explain because it's like after what I've seen, you know, in the past week and other kids there, because we were at a predominantly kids hospital. It's just not, it goes against what we think of in the medical world as there's a problem and you go fix it. It just doesn't quite work that way. And really, like in Mia, I mean, I'll just speak of Mia's condition.
This is basically the restructuring of bone and flesh. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Because what happens is
she didn't have a palate at all, right? When she
She did, but it had a hole or mainly a strip all the way back. And so what happens, and their face is a little bit imploded when they're born. So
because you always kind of have that flatter nose, right? Because you don't have that structure.
Yeah, the structure's not there.
Hang on, Jace. Let's take a break. So we spent a lot of time talking this last year about the travails of COVID and kind of how it's affected our lives. You know, I mean, it's just, I think it's because it affects us, our freedom so much, you know, is why it's just been such a bummer. You're trying to do the right thing, all this thing. I never really thought about it, but because of people being on the computer so much, it also can hurt in other ways because it's kind of opened the door for cyber thieves and people to come in and try to steal your data, steal things. And one of the things that they steal is your home title, which is kept somewhere in a digital place. And so the latest deal is they come in, they get the title, they put their name on it, then they start borrowing money. But you think it's your house, but actually somebody else owns it until they show up and kick you out of your own house, which is hard to believe that happens, but it does. There's a company that's been a sponsor for our show for a while called Home Title Lock. And basically what they do is put protection to make sure nobody can get to your title. So if you want to check these guys out, you go to HomeTitleLock.com, register your address to see if you're already a victim, then use the code RADIO to receive 30 days of free protection. So that's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com, and make sure your home is your home.
So what happens is the bottom jaw, in her case, grows fine. But that's not good because, I mean, it's good, but it's creating the same problem over and over again. And she has our jaw. The Robertsons have, which I learned this just because they have her skeleton, you know, on computer enhanced and her teeth and everything. You're looking at all this technology that the world offers and they're trying to just get it close. But then they got our bone structure too, because they're having to play off that to figure out
what it's going to be.
Yeah. And so they have a bunch of computer models, and basically the surgeries are trying to get close to what they're forecasting, you know?
Our
long protruding jaw, especially like mine and Phil's. She's got that too. So basically what's happened, despite all the surgeries, she's had 13 before, and you know, all related to this issue, because her top jaw doesn't grow like the bottom jaw. It just sits there.
So the bottom one outruns it
every time. And so they go in there, and because it's affecting her.
These guys, my hats are off to the guys, the surgeons who work in that
particular I'll tell you this. These two doctors that were working on
because they don't have an exact script of what you do.
Right. That's why it's hard to explain this. And that's why I don't even go to social media. Or I think Missy posted one or two posts, but because people just don't understand what they're talking about. And so they get it all wrong, and it's not even worth my time reading. And look, it's not that it makes me upset.
This is like the 14th surgery out of, you said 13 previously.
Yeah, everything they had done before.
So this started when she was like how old?
Oh, immediately.
I think the first procedure, she was just a few weeks old.
Cute. And, right.
Yeah, her old, almost averaging one a year.
Well, I've never heard that girl complain. Jace did, but I've never heard the girl complaining about it.
She don't. I mean, the sad thing about this procedure is she couldn't take any kind of medication stronger than Tylenol. Now, we're talking... breaking both of her jaws, shaving bone, moving her chin, you know, things with her nasal cavity, and she has a splint inside her mouth and all her teeth are like rubber banded shut and you can see all the incisions. They went in from here, both sides here and here, you know, through her lip.
Trying to limit the scarring as much as they can.
Right. And so I'm like, you can't take what? Because it's the kids, I guess, in the past, it's a choke hazard if you don't have your wits about you. So she can't be, on anything strong. So I'm looking at her like, oh, boy. Mm. I mean, because I never saw her cry other than when she got the coronavirus check for the jab the thing up her nose, and her eyes teared up. She's like, I hated that. And that was before
she just
the surgery.
Had her whole jaw redone with the coronavirus.
Oh, the coronavirus test. She's like, seemed like somebody could figure out something better than that, which spoken like a true champion. And the other thing is post-op, she didn't like the way one of the medicines smelled, and she didn't want to take it. And so, back in the past, we would just get it down. But she's 17 now, and she's like, not taking it. So Missy was like, here. Because everybody has it's a team, and everybody has their role.
Their role, yeah.
Well, my role is not the syringe. We're going down the hatch because that's the only way she can receive anything. Yeah. There's no space. She can't open her mouth.
Yeah.
And you got to remember what I thought was fascinating in her model. They had to move her jaws. If they sent the top, they broke it, the top one and went forward, and they broke the bottom one and come back. But now when you do that, it's not just that, because you're breaking a bone, but you don't want it to shatter. And so they were going to remove two teeth, but he said when we got in there, we didn't feel like the foundation was strong enough. And so we, you know, there was a few things they didn't do, because they're putting plates and screws in there too. But you got to remember, some of these kids like her, if you keep doing stuff and keep doing stuff, their face will implode.
Mm-hmm.
You lose the structure. Yeah. So they have to weigh the risk during surgery. Man. Of how exactly that, what risk are we going to take to maintain our created cranial structure? And so you're walking a line. When he came out of surgery and talked to us, of course, you know, it kept going longer and longer, and you're anxious.
Yeah.
But his first words were, "That was hard." So I thought, oh boy. You know what? I didn't like that he said that, but and he came over and sat down. I could tell he was exhausted. I mean, he was. But I was going to say this earlier about these doctors. I am 99.9% sure they could make way more money doing, you know, plastic surgery and, you know, everything going on in our world. And but they have a talent and a special skill set, and I can tell. I could just tell both of them. I could see it in their eyes. You know how most times they keep this professional relationship, which they did too. But these kids, it's personal. I mean, these kids are suffering, and they have the skill. Don't just come out there and give you a report. They sit down and we have a dang conversation, because it's just something that's hard to describe in other medical procedures. I mean, you got basically kids just, I mean— the suffering level of what they're going through is extreme.
Right. You said something to me that struck me, I'd never thought about, and we were talking about it. You were telling me that the reason this is so difficult is because she was born with this.
Right.
And so that her body keeps trying to revert back.
That's right.
To what she was born with. And I've never thought about it like that. In other words, we see it as just a flaw, but she was born this way, and so for whatever reason, with this birth defect, and she keeps reverting back, which is why you're fighting nature in a sense. And I never thought about that. That was really interesting.
It's like you're trying to construct something but the foundation was a certain way, and you keep trying to change the building, but the foundation had a crack in it.
Right.
And so you just. The power of God, you know, creating something, because, you know, a lot of people have asked me that. They're like, well, why did this happen? Which I think is a terrible, you know, question, because when you look at stuff like John 9, and it's what you do about it. It is what it is. The spiritual side of her, to me, is way more important and look, way more fantastic. I mean, just amazing that she goes through all that. And Missy and I were looking like, how in the world? And she's just sitting there. You know, the first response we got from her after the surgery, which will tell you her mindset. I mean, because when I first saw her, I took it better than the past times, just because they had told me, okay, look, she's gonna look rough. Her head's gonna be swollen, eyes swollen shut, and so I was prepared for it. And so we saw her, and so the nurse. Who the first nurse, she didn't really have an idea of what just happened, you know, because they don't write them a memo. So she was like, I mean, what movies do you think she would watch? And she was telling, you know, Missy that, because I mean, Mia, she's just out of it. And Missy's like, she's not going to be watching any movies anytime soon. I mean, it was like, look at Exhibit A, you know.
Right.
She was like, I guess so. Well, sometimes they bounce back. And she's like, no, we're good. Well, they started talking about TV shows. And she's like, what TV shows they like? And they started talking about one of them, Criminal Minds or something, which I know Mia watches that. Missy,
so does Carla.
I've never watched it. And so the nurse was like, yeah, I like that show. You know, well, they looked over and Mia had her thumb up. That was the first... Because we thought she was completely out of it. She's wheeled in. Like,
she had a Criminal Mind.
Yeah, let's watch that. But I thought, well, dang. I mean, not a moan or groan. I mean, she was aware of what she was hearing. So, you know, to back up just to where we are in the procedure. So they feel good about it. I mean, he said it was the hardest thing, you know, I've done lately, because he said her top jaw is so small. He said that's why we had to have so many hands. We were basically all four of us taking turns trying to get this corrected, but it's so small of an area and you're dealing with so small of bones. And, you know, when I just thought about when you break a bone on purpose, I mean, how do you do it without shattering it?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's how tedious this thing is. You're basically trying to do it on purpose without it shattering.
Without hurting or worse.
But he said we feel good about it.
Let's take another break, dude.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
So that was the procedure.
So you kind of were worried when he first started, but then as the discussion went on, you felt better.
Right. I mean, he's like, look, I feel like that team, we did the best we could do. And he said, you know, that we did as good. And he said the when I looked at the final, you know, when we were finishing up, it matched closely to all the computer models that we had.
And projection.
So he said, you know, to pull that off, I feel great about. So she hasn't felt good, you know, the whole time. We flew her back, was it yesterday? My days are all kind of running together. But
flew her back Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. We had to spend an extra day in the hospital.
So that was when the surgery was done, 4 days ago?
Wednesday.
That was Wednesday. It's been Wednesday. Today's Monday. So.
Yeah, it's been a few days. Now, she has to go back tomorrow, so we have to fly her back. I'm spending an obscene amount of money on this procedure. But you
know,
I didn't
ask you about the money, but I'm thinking, boy, this has to be pretty expensive.
You know, I wonder what people do, because, I mean, I've been blessed. So, I mean, getting in a car for 5 hours with no pain medication after, I'm just not doing, you know. And so I'm like, I mean, I'll spend every dollar I got. To make it easier. And so we'll fly her back out tomorrow. Missy will go back. It was such a tedious surgery, and they want to look at her. And of course, the biggest thing is guarding against infection.
So has the swelling gone down?
No. And, you know, from what it was day one, yes. But has it gone down? It's all relative, I guess. But here's one thing he said that was disturbing to me. He said the swelling will not 100% go down for 12 months. He said 12 months. He said, so don't feel like, because, you know, parents, we get panicky.
Yeah.
We're like, oh my goodness, it's been a month, you know, and she's still swollen. He's like, so 12 months is the target on that, which is a long time. And so he was telling Mia that before too. He was like, look, don't get down, you know, about how you look. I mean, she's a 17-year-old girl. And, because he said it just takes an extreme amount of time for the swelling to go
down. Long would it be before she can, like, go back to school? And is she originally going to be able to go back this year?
Oh, yeah. Originally, they said, look, it's going to be up to her. But, I mean, we're thinking 6 weeks maybe. But he said, you know, Mia has been real resilient. So they said, you know, we forbid it for 2 weeks. But after a couple weeks, we'll look at how you're doing. And, of course, you know, now that from the coronavirus, everything's gone online anyway. And so she'll catch up. She's a smart girl. She's had to do that, you know, before. But now, you know, I just think we have an awesome staff. And, you know, I get even choked up, you know, talking about it with, about the staff. Cause these guys, I mean, they love her. And, I think, you know, her lead surgeon, he had talked about, you know, retiring or whatever, but, you know, he has a passion for those kids he's went, been with. He's been with it's her 15 since years, two or three.
Yeah. That's what Missy said.
And,
so he's seen the like, whole thing.
Whole, I mean, look, they're all in, you know, trying to help them the whole way.
And Dad, Missy told us on the podcast she was on last week that there's never been a 6-week period in Mia's life when she hasn't had to go to the doctor to get mm-hmm. checked on her progress. She's 17 years old, and she's never gone over 6 weeks without going to these doctors or these people.
Yeah, we just don't make a big deal about it. But every 6 weeks, Missy has her over
to go to Dallas.
Yeah. She's in Dallas. So, I mean, you just think about it. Your whole life.
I mean, it's just it's incredible.
That's why people are like, well, why are you going back? I'm like, oh, I'm sure we'll have to go back some more. You know, now we usually drive, but now, I mean, we're basically trying to do everything we can to make her as comfortable as possible. Cause I know this is, if you had a top 10 of miserable conditions, this would be in there.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
I mean,
about it.
It's just it's a lot of suffering.
I cringe just every time we talk about it. Cause like, I don't even like to go to the dentist. Like when they're in my mouth, I just, you know, so I can't even imagine. I can't even go there.
You know, what you figure out is there's always you compartmentalize it, which is what we do. You know, I forget about it once she's healed up and you just
live in life.
You don't even want to go there. But when you get in that mode, you have to find your role in this particular venture. And this time was better for me. But you got to remember, this is not about me at all. I mean, I thought about this the other day. I was like, in our team of doctors, who are basically the head coaches and and the staff. And then you've got, you know, Missy is, I mean, a star here. She's the hands-on every 5 minutes she's had to suction her out. We had this machine we had to rent, you know, and cause there was a lot of blood clots in her mouth, and that's why the choke hazard comes in there. So she's, and they're still, I mean, when I left today, I heard that machine, you know, that's going on every 5 minutes. And she's just, so during the night, I mean, like Missy, we have that huge sectional couch, you know, Mia's on one side and Missy's on the other, because it's just constant care the whole time. So, you know, I'm like the water boy, because that's basically what I do. I make runs to go get stuff that are needed. And so when you throw in that this is downtown Dallas, which I cannot describe to you what I have experienced on the highway. Because here's what happened. This darn, you know, scourge of the coronavirus has created all these rules. So no hospital would let two parents in, except the day before we get there, one of the hospitals said, we'll allow two parents.
It changed the
problem. So I'm like, well, we're moving hospitals.
I mean, you possibly couldn't even have been there.
Well, no, right, but I was just going to stay at the hotel. That was the plan. And then if they need something, I would run it up there. Yeah. And plus, I'm not being away from my daughter doing that. I mean, it's a highly sophisticated, complicated, dangerous surgery. I'm going to be on site, you know. But we moved, you know, hospitals, but Missy's like, well, I can't find a hospital near here. I mean, a hotel. I was like, I'll be fine. But boy... Phil, it's a bunch of S curves, 8 to 10 lanes. I didn't know these people were doing this on a daily basis, because I can't, when they say they need something, if it's 5 o'clock, guess what? I'm out there at 5 o'clock. And it became a NASCAR experience. When I turned it into NASCAR.
You've just explained the fuel behind the cancel culture. Because humanity's looking at humanity. Everybody's mad at everybody just for being alive on planet Earth.
And I could totally get it. Let's take another break.
So I go out there. You know, and at first, you can't help it. You're just trying to just find a lane and stay out of trouble.
Because they're coming just...
This is giving you meaning to stay in your lane, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So finally, it was frustrating. There was construction. There was... So finally we get up there. There's an idiot trying to drive 100 miles an hour with no place to go. And so he veered in behind me. And so I'm like, what is going on here? Because he was darting, dipping. Well, then all of a sudden I heard tires screeching, look, smoke coming up. I looked at my side mirror. It's just mayhem. When that happened, because I'm like, am I good? I just floored it. Clean air. And when I got to the hotel, I turned the news on thinking I'm going to see.
Read about the.
Oh, it's interstate. We have a 14 car pileup. No, there's nothing. This is just a day in the life. There's no news. I watch it at 10 o'clock thinking, well, I'm going to see what happened in this wreck right beside. Nothing. I thought.
Not even worth bringing up.
It ain't. That
happens every day.
Oh, yeah. 14. I thought, okay, it's NASCAR. Because I felt like in my mind, I don't know why, that old Martin popped in my head. And it's like, guy got behind me and he tried to get me loose. And I was in turn four, you know, my spotter was it. But, you know, us and the Coca-Cola. You know, whether they have all the sponsors, right. You know, the corn dog biscuit truck.
But you don't have a spotter. That's your problem.
No sponsor and no spotter. But every day after that, I just viewed it as a NASCAR race, and I was way better then. Because there's no speed limit. You go whatever everybody else is going.
That's exactly right.
And the pace setter, that's just what the pace is.
That's right. But what's amazing about it, when you were doing that in Dallas, I was experiencing the same thing. Because we went to Atlanta, and now flying has gotten so miserable with the got to wear the mask the whole time. It's just, and they're just like, I mean, they're just fascist about you get that mask over your nose. So I just, if it's within driving distance, I'm going to drive. Then I don't have to wear a mask. I can go to the bathroom when I want to because these people have just, it's out of control. So I drove to Atlanta, but when I was driving through there, I had the exact same experience. I thought, if I don't just go with the flow, I'm going to get killed.
Yeah.
If you just try to slow down and
you don't look at the speedometer, just go. Finally, I told Missy, I was like, I got to get closer. So I found the cheapest hotel there was the only one that had a room. And look, just a helpful hint for you inner city dwellers. There's a reason. That there's a room open. When you can't find anything, and then all of a sudden, when they say, oh, we got plenty of rooms,
that's right.
There's a reason. But anyway, I went there because it was only 4 or 5 minutes. And
you're thinking, I can take anything.
I mean, they were, like, making me fill out forms. You know, it's like, you know, no smoking or, you know, pay $1,000 penalty. I don't smoke, so I'm like, why am I going through all this? Well, when I got to my room, somebody, they had a smoke party in here last night. I was like, so I'm like, do I call them and say, you put me in a smoking room,
but you're kind
but
of
there's no
like,
smoking. Yeah. I just signed something that said, we got a scam going here. But I said, no, I'm just not dealing with it.
And they wonder why I've retreated to the woods.
But Phil, I have no point. My daughter's having, you know, I mean, I have no, there. This is what I have to do, you know. Look, I can't complain. Like when I go back, I didn't say a word. Because what am I going to do? Tell Missy, I'm staying at a tough hotel in there, you know. Yeah, she's over here trying to heal. So look, about 10:45 at night, all I've done is come in there and I've tried not to touch anything. And I just put my bag on the bed, and I got on there. I'm on the sixth floor, but I'm right by the side exit door, which I thought was a good thing.
Yeah, in case you got to get out.
10:45 at night, bang, 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 bang. A language I've never heard at as loud as you can imagine on my door. I went, wrong room. Bang, 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 bang. I said, I have a gun. I reached over and grabbed my gun. Wrong room.
You're just yelling through the door.
Yeah. I hear like 2 seconds of silence, and I hear the side door slam, and I hear the stairs because these walls are, you know. And I said, well, I found a universal language. I have a gun. He understood I have a gun.
Al, you have to admit, a lot of stuff comes old Jason.
That's what happens.
Every time he's on the, every week goes by, he experiences something that I've never experienced.
Well, it's a story with no, that was the end of it. But then the rest of the night, I felt like a Eli Wallach, and I got one eye open. I'm like, because it was kind of scary.
I thought I would just tell that story. I thought, you remember the old movie Arthur? Where the guy was a drunk.
Now you're going down a.
This is back. This is Arthur. It was Dudley Moore, and he played a drunk in the movie. So he got drunk. He goes, he's looking for Liza Minnelli's apartment. So he bangs on the door, and it's like 2 a.m. And this woman opens the door, and she's got stuff on her face, like I guess she sleeps in. And he was like, oh, you know, he's like drunk, you know. And she says, "My husband has a gun." And he said, "And he probably shot it while you were screaming." He turns around and walks away.
I may have to look that up.
It's a good movie. It's really funny.
But
don't watch the updated one. Watch the old one.
Well, Jace, you've just told a story and just a little outlier there of what happens in and around being in some city with your daughter having
people it's just live like tough. This. It's I thought, why would somebody live here on purpose? You know, which I'm sure they live outside the city, but I don't know. I mean, I got turned around multiple times, but one time I was in some real fancy neighborhood, and I'm like, "This was your plan? You got this big house here in the middle of this concrete jungle?
And you gotta get in and out of it.
And just driving around it." And look, I noticed when I got off the interstate, because I had to make a couple of runs to Chick-fil-A, because we would get the milkshake. And like put the medicine in the milkshake. And I started looking at the cars. One out of 7-8 cars, paint gone, fender bender, dent. These people. It reminded me of that Days of Thunder, you know. Yeah. It's not. He didn't run into you. He rubbed you, you know. Remember that? Yes.
Let's take one last break.
He said, "You go out there, and I want you to hit that pace car." And Tom Cruise was like, "Do what?" He said, "You've hit every other one. Let's have a perfect day." But what I was going to say, Al, is, you know, all the things that happen, you find these moments of humor. I mean, the car's going like NASCAR. I mean, it was kind of humorous, and I listened to a lot of worship music to try to keep my perspective. But I will say this. There are spiritual moments. The people that reached out to us during this whole process, I mean, it was just moving.
Yeah.
Right before Mia was going to be wheeled out, Tebow sent me a text, and it was just heartfelt and awesome. He's like, "Tell Mia this." And I was like, "Tim Tebow just sent you a text." Well, she lit up, because it's like, I said, "You know, you're something when Tebow is texting you before." And so those kind of just little moments made it. But I wanted to share one that was, I guess, in all situations where something happens, and in this compartment in life, there's usually a moment that happens that I think, boy, this is a God moment. And the one I wanted to share before we run out of time was, I don't know when it was, probably day 2 or 3 of the post-surgery. I'm going to the car. I'm fixing to make a run, go do something. And I hear somebody say, "Jace?" And usually when I hear that, I think, oh, good. You know, I'm here. It's probably a fan. You know, it's not the time. Right. But for some reason, I just didn't think that. I turned around, and it was a young couple, I'd say early 20s. And they were getting out of their car. I mean, we're in a hospital, children's hospital, you know, parking lot. So I'm like, they're here for a reason.
Probably got a kid.
So, yeah. And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I listen to y'all's podcast. I really love what y'all do. I love that you love the Lord." And so I'm like, "Well, what are y'all doing here?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, she lost an unborn child." And so I was like, "Oh, I know that can be tough." I said, because my wife, we had that experience twice. And, you know, we all got a little teary-eyed, but, and they're like, "Well, what are you doing here?" You know, and I was telling them about Mia. And I don't know, when I shared the story with Mia and they shared their hearts, we just had a moment.
Yep.
And we started talking about spiritual things and different verses in the Bible and God's plan. And I thought, these people are so spiritually mature for young people. And he said, I'd like to just say a prayer. This guy's prayer was unbelievable. And I was wondering for days why I thought that was so awesome. And it hit me. I thought, it's real. You know, when you pray, and we all have those moments where we're praying, but it's, you know, we're just praying.
Yeah.
But when something's real, heartfelt in the moment. And so I wanted to share that to that couple, you know, because in that moment, I really needed that yep. encouragement. And I'm sure they felt the same way. I mean, it's devastating to us who believe that, you know, God is a creator of life to lose a child.
Yep.
And we're out here praying, saying God's got this and got a plan. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
I call those divine appointments where
no doubt
we cross paths with people that either they need us or we need them or both.
Yep. Jace, you have given new meaning with your what you've said this morning. In keeping with his promise, and Peter is discussing the disappearing of these present heavens and earth, and there's help on the way. In keeping with his promise, 2 Peter chapter 3, about verse 13, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. He said, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him.
Yeah.
So he says, help's on the way. Just,
yep.
Y'all just... It's a pretty good bummer, you know, just inner cities and the ramifications of all that and the momentary ailments we have yep. and sickness and disease and all that. It's tough, tough, tough world.
Yep. Well, the verse I continually thought about was, you know, in our weakness, God's power is shown through. And, I remember Paul talking about thorn in the flesh. And
yep.
look, we all have different things that come our way. And there's other people that have... you know, battles with cancer, and we've all had multiple kids that we've prayed with, and look, and we've seen them, you know, die.
Yeah.
And, but we know, you know, ultimately what God did through Jesus is truly the ultimate
yep.
answer. And I thought about how I was telling you yesterday, one of the more complicated things is because people are like, well, we don't understand how you can't just fix her.
Yeah.
And it made me think about, there's a story in Mark 8 where Jesus healed, you know, when he spit on the ground and he healed yep. the guy. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, I see people, but they look like trees. And so he did something else. Well, that verse says he healed him, but then it says he made it where he could see more clearly.
Yeah.
And what I told Al, I said, you know, I have a different view on that now. I've always... And I've heard many sermons. People say, you know, you're sometimes Jesus has to touch you again. And I'm not discounting that. But after this experience and listening to her doctors, I realized something, that for her, you know, her tongue has been in front of her upper teeth. You know, if you just, it's a small thing, but if you think about your mouth right now, your tongue is behind your teeth.
Yep.
Well, hers has been in front. And so that's not good. No wonder you have problems, you know, eating and breathing and
talking.
Yeah, talking. So they're like, well, after this surgery, her tongue is going to be behind her teeth. He said, but you got to remember, it's going to take her months. It's one thing to fix her, and to go to the story that I was talking about in Mark.
Just getting used to that.
Well, it's one thing to be healed. It's another thing to know how to function. After the healing,
right.
It's kind of like someone who had never walked and Jesus healed them. well, now you're not going to take off running. Yep. You don't have the experience. And so I told Al, I said, I really think that that miracle was not just the healing, but then the ability to use what you haven't been using.
Right.
Suffering, Al, in many ways is a great teacher.
That's right.
Suffering is a great teacher.
Well, and it teaches everybody different things.
That's right.
I mean, that's the, like,
well, and our approach is like, I hope you learn something, but don't give me any suffering. And, yeah, right. You know, because it's, that's what they say. The only true major surgery in life is the one done on you.
That's right.
Yep.
And it's just hard to look at someone, you know, like in Mia's case. And I just try to make this kind of weird in my mind. I think she has this thorn in her life. I don't want to be another thorn. And so, you know, it's just hard to know how to deal with her and help her. But, you know, you think about it from her perspective. I mean, it's really lonely. She looks different constantly because she is in this world now where she can't communicate.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way we're communicating now is a whiteboard. Yep. And, you know, you just think about a lonely this day after day after day after day. You're just, and I mean, I got her phone. I thought she would, but she just doesn't feel good enough to, she's not at that stage yet. And I thought, man, just don't be a thorn. Try to be the rose,
yes, right.
You know, in
just
this
hang,
situation.
Just kind of been hanging, Mo.
But I wanted to say I appreciate everybody's prayers because I really believe that's why she did so well. Because
yep.
It certainly wasn't pain medication because yep. She hadn't had anything but Tylenol.
That's we amazing. Sure prayed for her, Jace. Yeah. Being your mama.
Yeah,
and y'all keep praying.
Yeah, for especially now. So our last guest, Jace, that filled in for you was a guy named Kenny that has some hamburger restaurants over in the Carolinas. Good guy, great story. And he was here on his birthday, which was also his rebirthday because he got baptized here last year. And so he left a check for me, a move. He brought it with him, which is awesome.
Great.
You know, so it was like, he was like, be sure and give this to Jace. Tell him I'm praying for
him. That
was
nice.
So, yeah. So he left that.
And it's a big one.
Excellent.
Well, and
so
look.
Thank you, Kenny, for that.
And what we do, look, there's no amount of money that you're going to give someone to take care of all this. Like I just told you, I've spent. But what we do with the people that contribute is we try to have those moments like I had in the parking lot. We pay, you know, one of their doctor visits or whatever, yeah. But we give them hope. We give them the information, and then we plug them into the network of other people
right.
Because really that community is what you got to have.
Right.
And so I'm proud to say that we're one of the few charities that help these kids that we give 100% of the money.
Right.
To the people.
Right.
So everything
there's no admin because you're just doing it.
Well, the admin we pay
right.
Out of our pocket, which is our contribution.
Right.
You know, and I don't use any money for our stuff because you know what? The Lord blessed me with it. It's the greatest thing I can spend it on.
Stock market.
Yep. Hey.
Thanks for the update, Jace. And definitely we'll keep those prayers going for a quick as recovery as possible.
No, thank y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.